The programming on 88.1 FM is made possible in part by WWER Watts members, who show their support of community radio by donating online at wwer.org/membership. If you like our programming, please consider contributing to wwer.org/membership. Welcome to Town Matters on WWER. Town Matters is here to inform Colonial Beach residents about issues you're concerned with from as close to the source as we can get. If you're on social media, you know it's full of people talking about issues and events around town. It is rife with opinions about what's gone wrong with the way things were done. And it's full of misinformation. Like any form of gossip or retelling of stories, sometimes facts get misconstrued or completely changed. Our goal here is to find out the real story of what's going on, straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak. And sometimes, to quote the venerable Paul Harvey, to get the rest of the story. My name is Ted Tate, and today on Town Matters, we're talking to Mayor Robin Schick. Robin, welcome.
Hi, Ted. It's nice to be here.
Yep. And my little intro that I do for the show every time is particularly appropriate for the topic we're going to be talking about today. I gather that the town council has just passed a new set of economic incentives, and you're here to kind of let people know what that means, because there's been some rumors about it that may not have been correct, and you kind of want to set the record straight, don't you?
Yeah, well, first, it's not actually new to the town code, but it's rather a rewrite. There were economic incentives in town code, but they were defunct and had expired. And then the state code had repealed some of the language that and terms that were used in it. And so it was sitting there in the town code and not helpful, not useful. And one of the things that we're trying to incentivize is business here in town and working with being business friendly. With the Dotson development coming in, it's important that retail space get filled and that we have a vibrant downtown and that we support our existing businesses as well as attracting new businesses that we need in our local economy that are kind of missing parts.
So is a lot of this stuff, as you say, sort of rewriting what was already written because it had expired, you said?
Yeah, so it was originally put in the town code about 12 years ago, and it had a 10-year expiration date. And so a couple years ago, it had expired. I don't think anybody even knew it was sitting in there. Mm-hmm. A lot of people had never seen it before. And even though it's on Muni Code and all town code is on municode.com, you can go and read the town code there.
And I'm sure it's very exciting reading.
Oh, it's just thrilling, actually. I do it to make sure I sleep at night. So the code was there, and I thought, I read it a while back, and I said, why are businesses not using these incentives? Here's this incentive in town code for businesses, and I've never heard of any business taking advantage of it.
So tell me a little bit about what sort of incentives are we talking about?
So the way that the code had to be rewritten to align with the state code, the authority that we have as a locality to give incentives to businesses, are that we have to create what are called zones. And they have to be a technology zone, and we are also authorized to have a tourism zone. And these are revitalization zones. They're meant to incentivize job growth. So if a business meets certain qualifiers, then the incentive that they get is a rebate of their BPOL tax, which is the business license operating tax in town.
Okay.
So basically, you can get 2 years without paying BPOL tax if you expand the jobs within your existing business by two over a two-year time frame, and your gross receipts by 10%. Now, there is a little bit of difference between the technology zone and the tourism zone. And that rewriting this was important because the prior way the zones were written wasn't really in line with how small business in Colonial Beach operates. And so we worked with the Chamber of Commerce and the Economic Development Committee through Mike Fitzpatrick and got up feedback from the businesses in town about what maybe is a better fit for our local businesses and how we could create a program that actually would be useful.
So you asked the businesses, what do you want?
Yes, yes. And they're, we got a lot of feedback from them and incorporated as much as we could. And then went back and forth several times. And the Chamber of Commerce has been extremely supportive of this initiative. And it's an exciting venture that we've worked on together.
And I gather that all of this is not just sort of revamping some old rules that were written, but a general trend of the council, I think, to be more business friendly, to make Colonial Beach the kind of place that businesses want to come to, because quite frankly, the residents want more businesses, the visitors want more businesses, they want places they can go and shop and eat and all of that.
Yeah, it's probably one of the biggest, I hate to say it as a complaint, because you can't really complain about it because there's a lot that go into fixing it, but is that they'd like to see more businesses here. They'd like to see more things available to do here. And it is a chicken and egg sort of scenario where you have to have population growth in order to support business, but you also have to support business in order to support population growth. So we are looking at sustainable ways to do both those things. And so on the population side, we're focused on a lot of infrastructure projects in the next coming years. We should do a separate Town Matters on that.
We could.
And then on the business side, we are looking to be more business friendly. And so we actually have several business friendly initiatives that are starting up or in the works right now. I want to talk about the economic incentives as a piece of that, and then maybe come back around to what all the rest of those programs are.
That sounds fine.
So we see the kind of whole picture.
Yeah, this was, as you said before, this was a piece of a much larger kind of puzzle that you guys are working with to, again, make the town more business friendly, to hopefully grow the town, all of those sorts of things that we all, I think, want a bit. And this was just one that got a little extra attention.
Yeah, and I think it was really rewritten to incentivize and target small business. And I think part of the attention it received was misconstrued, because it was the concern in Colonial Beach is not wanting big business, not wanting Walmart maybe,
right,
or like the giant chains. We're not wanting to become Carl D. Silver Parkway. Not that I don't shop at Carl D. Silver Parkway sometimes, but you know, we want the quaint and cute and attractive and small town of Colonial Beach to thrive. And so the incentives were actually written specifically for very small business. And the qualifiers meet small business needs and are targeted to small business. Now, in the technology portion, there's two zones, right? Technology and tourism. And in technology, we took a very wide lens about what technology could mean, because ultimately what we want to attract, other than just jobs, is healthcare facilities. And so in the technology zone, which encompasses the, it's actually the Lennar property, which is undeveloped still along 205, and then the central Food Lion Shopping Center, the main corridor, Colonial Avenue, and downtown, that's all part of the technology zone. And any business within that zone that's existing or new can qualify for the incentives. And they have to create two jobs. Like I said, they have to create gross receipts. If they're a new business, they have to put in $250,000 of capital improvement. So that means they're purchasing a building or a long-term lease and improvements or things like that. They're showing a vested interest in establishing here and also job creation. But we're extending that within that technology zone specifically to include also healthcare. And ultimately, we want to attract more healthcare professionals. And we mean even small doctor's offices, dentists. I mean, we have very limited services in that. And so this
Absolutely.
Was one of the ways to try to target and reach out to that particular business industry and say, we want to work with you. And we're a small town, and we're going to help you establish here. And this, because we're calling you out by name within this incentive program.
Mm-hmm. What else qualifies as technology?
So anything that works with green energy, so manufacturing, development, design of alternative or green energy products, things that work with our national defense system. So we're also trying to attract jobs, maybe small businesses that are supporting Dahlgren Naval Base. Anything also in computer hardware, software, networking, I mean, the general technology that you think of offhand. But I think specifically we were broadening that to include healthcare and then the support to government services, like particularly the military, because we know our location.
Right.
Right. And we know our needs and we have needs in those things. So okay. That was one of the major changes there in that section. Now, in the tourism section is a little bit different. Tourism in Colonial Beach, we know, operates in a seasonal status. And so when in the technology, we're talking about year-round companies. We're talking about things that operate annually. And so we're requiring two full-time employees to meet that qualifier that work year-round. However, in the tourism industry, we didn't think that was appropriate because lots of our businesses that are tourism-supported really can only operate in a 6 or 9 month season. And so the language there is a little bit different. It qualifies two full-time seasonal employees, and it has a little bit different definition for that seasonal employment so that you're still showing growth, you're showing investment in the community in order to get the incentive, but we also understand you're not going, it's not going to be feasible for you to be operating with two additional employees on a year-round basis.
So it's catered toward the understanding of tourism and the fact that we're, you know, a beach town.
Yeah, and a lot of that input was come from the Chamber of Commerce and working within businesses and then saying what's the reality of growth in Colonial Beach of a tourism business wants to grow in Colonial Beach, what is that going to look like and how can we incentivize that?
So is a restaurant, for example, considered part of that tourism definition?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And so the tourism zone is out by Wilkerson's where the old Happy Clam was and where Wilkerson's is because that is a restaurant, right? Mm-hmm. And then also...
So from that point, which is the town limit, isn't it?
It's a town limit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then there is a section from... Again, overlaps with the technology district for that main section of town, the main corridor of town from Food Lion down Colonial Avenue to Boundary Street, right here in downtown where we're doing the show right now.
So that whole L of from basically this the traffic light down Colonial Avenue, turn onto Washington Avenue and to Boundary.
Yes. And it includes First Street too, because there are businesses that is commercial, residential along First Street, so that's also included in it. And then the tourism...
And then it stops at the point, or...?
No, it continues on. And so the technology zone, which is more of that year-round business, stops at Boundary Street. But the tourism zone continues around the perimeter of the point. And a part of that, the concept of that, was that it is the perimeter of point that has in the past sustained tourism businesses on and off throughout its life. And so we have some good examples of that exist today, like several B&Bs, the Wakefield Motel, obviously lots of marinas on the Monroe Bay side. But we have some that used to exist that no longer do. Parker's mm-hmm. Restaurant.
I remember it.
I know. I remember it fondly, too. And the Bell House used to be a B&B and is now a private home. And so we don't want to limit it to exactly what is in existence today, because we know that over time there are things that change in that area. I think one of the points of confusion that happened is that this has to be called a zone because of the language from the state code that gives us the authority to create economic incentives. But what it is not is a zoning ordinance.
Right. And this is kind of key, isn't it? You're not changing the zoning from residential to commercial.
Correct.
You're just calling it an economic incentive zone, which is a different thing.
Yes.
Okay.
It is just a rebate in your BPOL tax. I mean, it's a nice way to say we're welcoming business growth, but it is not actually changing the zoning of any particular parcel.
So here's a question. Like, for example, the Bell House.
Sure.
That was a B&B for many, many years. Mm-hmm. It's not now. How is that zoned? Is that zoned residential or commercial or both, or what is it?
So the
I
would assume that the Bell House had a conditional use permit, which you can get in R2 zoning. Like if you have a house that is, you know, could facilitate becoming a B&B, and there are several on the point that could, then you go for a CUP, a conditional use permit, and that is allowable within your zone, and it's conditioned because it's allowable, but you also have to ask permission for it. So
if somebody wanted to open a new B&B somewhere on the point, not necessarily even in the zone, because the zone is only the perimeter, is that right?
The zone is two blocks in the perimeter because we didn't want to leave out, like the plaza is not on the water,
correct,
but it's one block in. And so we included the entire width of the block around.
Okay.
And it looks bigger on the map than it really is because they drew the map out into the water some to include piers and, you know, businesses that are water, you know, water dependent.
Right. So if, for example, actually at one of those piers, if somebody wanted to open a jet ski rental thing, that might be a tourism thing that would qualify for this.
Right. And they would have to get a conditional use permit in order to do that. So they would have to ask permission. It would go through public hearing. Neighbors would be notified. They would have an opportunity to come and speak at the public hearing if they were against it or for it or whatever.
So again, it's not changing the zoning. All those rules still apply.
Correct.
It's just that if you pass all those tests, you now get an economic incentive for running this business.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, and what we saw before was in the old code, there was a map and it had just drawn tiny little boxes around each individual piece of property that at that point in time was a business. And in 12 years, and in only 12 years, that has changed significantly. Mm-hmm. Lots of those little tiny squares are not businesses, and other houses have maybe become businesses. And we know that things change over time. Why would we put a map in that didn't holistically get incentivize the general concept, right? And the general concept is that tourism is supported by waterfront activity. And obviously that is a section of Colonial Beach that's waterfront and supports tourism.
And I guess from what little you told me just before we started the recording, there were some people, I think, on the point who had homes there, who were worried that this meant that this was going to be an opportunity for businesses to roll in and knock down a house and put a business where a house used to be and put a restaurant or something like that. And that's not the case here because the zoning, the actual zoning, remains the same.
Correct. Yes, the zoning remains the same. And there's no intent to change the zoning of the point and our future land use map already dictates zoning on the point. We would have to go through several public hearings and change the future land use map and do all kinds of other things to get to that point.
Out of curiosity, if somebody did want to do it, well, let's say I bought a house and then I was like, yeah, I'm gonna tear that down and put a restaurant there. Is that possible even?
Oh, well, they would have to go through, like, for a restaurant. So in R2... things that are zoned R2, there are conditional use allowable things. I can't remember if restaurant's on that list at this time. But,
okay. Well, because you mentioned that restaurant, Parker's.
Yes, but that's on C1.
Oh, really?
So,
that's a commercial plot.
Right. It is C1 on that plot. So for that plot, by C1 by right, it could be a restaurant again.
But right next to it, no. Because it's probably residential
it's
right next.
Yeah. And you would have to change the zoning in a parcel like that. And you would have to go through that zoning process, which actually requires to change zoning requires two public hearings. So you would go to the public hearing once at the Planning Commission and again at the Town Council. And so there would be a long process of vetting that before
with
it
plenty of
allowed.
Opportunity for citizens
denial
who live near
everything.
There to
sure.
raise their concerns
right.
and protest and what have you. And again, I guess the only thing here is that economic incentive, which might speak to somebody who is a business owner and think, oh, well, this might be worth jumping through all these hoops to do this. But there's still the opportunity of the neighborhood to say, no, we don't want this because you're going to have hearings and they can do all of those things. It doesn't change that process at all.
Sure. I don't think that the economic incentive provided in this code would be enough for
right.
somebody to jump through all those hoops because while the B-Pole text is a nice extension of our, our support of growth, it's really not a very big incentive.
Right.
And so in order to go through all that, you must have a plan that is much bigger than
and hopefully
than just the B-poll tax.
Hopefully they would find a piece of land that is already zoned commercial that they could use instead, because those pieces are there and there are plenty of them that are available.
Sure. And also I think that we're going to see, we want to understand and support small business growth. And a lot of times small business starts in the home. And it starts as a home business that then expands. And it depends on what that business is about, whether or not that's appropriate. And as businesses grow from a home to a brick and mortar, things change for them. Their needs change. And obviously, we may want to accommodate them in a different location than their house at that point. And there's rules about that, about how many employees you could have that work from your home if you do have a home occupation license. And you have to get a license for that too.
Mm.
So there's a process, a procedure for even allowing that to happen, and rules that apply to it. But I think the important part is that the town and the town council and the Chamber of Commerce and the community are working together to find ways to support our business community and also to incentivize some of the places that it is lacking at. I mean, the point about including healthcare and specifically targeting healthcare is because we want to provide better service to our citizens here. And then in the tourism side of it, there are a range of businesses that are supported in tourism that include also amusement. And one of the things that people love about this town is its heyday of the boardwalk having amusement there. And so we would like to attract businesses that recreate that, you know, in a new way. Obviously, this is a new era, and we need to think open-minded about that. But I think there are other alternatives to becoming our own in Colonial Beach today, rejuvenating, revitalizing, that maybe don't look exactly like it did in the 40s or 50s, but
you can't go back.
Yeah.
You can't relive the past.
Sure. I mean, but I think that we can recreate what we are now. And we're a small town, and we want to stay a small town. And so we want to support those small businesses in a small town that provide services for our citizens.
I was going to ask you, I mean, one of the things I'm sure the town council is up against all the time is there are people who don't want anything to change. There are those people who are just like, I want my little town to be my little town. I don't want anything to change. I like it just the way it is. And here you are trying to kind of reinvent Colonial Beach in a modern era, but hopefully something that draws tourists and has some kind of entertainment or arcades or like you just mentioned, and you're trying to grow it because there's the other faction of people in Colonial Beach who say, I want more restaurants. I want more things to do with my kids. I want more stuff in Colonial Beach. And how do you balance that? That's probably one of the hardest things for you and the town council, isn't it?
By targeting exactly how you want to grow and being specific about it. So while we are incentivizing business growth, and we are doing it in ways that incentivize very small businesses to grow, I also have been supportive of the historic preservation district here in town. And so we have designation now by the state for our historic commercial zone right here where we are, and that is going to incentivize preserving historical buildings in the downtown, all the way up to Lenny's, actually. The zone is fairly big. And we will be pursuing, I just got an email this last week about the next steps to expanding on historic designation in town. And so that's a way that you keep that charm and character, is that we're going to incentivize restoring and preserving the gems of our town, not tearing them down for, you know, some big box thing to come in, because that's not what we're trying to attract. And I think targeting that and working to incentivize preserving the historical character, the historical architecture that we have here, is an important part of our culture.
And that brings us to this being a piece of a larger puzzle. that you guys are working on. Do you want to touch upon some of the other ways? I mean, the historic district is certainly one of them.
Sure. The historic district is absolutely one of them. And I think a big part of that is also Downtown Colonial Beach, which is an organization that is supportive of businesses and also livability within a downtown, creating that downtown atmosphere. So Downtown Colonial Beach supports becoming a Main Street. And Virginia Main Street is a program run by the state that is connected with America Main Street, USA Main Street, where they take small towns and downtowns and revitalize them to be economic hubs for a community again. And so we are supporting Downtown Colonial Beach in their initiative to Main Street. They're an affiliate right now, and ultimately the goal is to become a official designated Main Street in town. That connects us with state programs that help support that.
So, sorry, just so I understand, if we get the official designation of a Main Street, that opens up certain money
yes.
to us?
Mm-hmm. Money, programs, training, investors, all kinds of things. And so I don't want to make that sound like it's revolutionary, because in many ways, it's actually taking us back to what we were, not, in having a revitalized downtown, an active downtown, which is what people remember and recall and want to see again. It's not wiping out everything to build new, although some of that is naturally going to occur because we have the Dotson development that has some vacant parcels, and they're going to have to create what that space now looks like.
Although, to his credit, I mean, I know he's looked at buildings, including the one that we're in right now, and he looks at them with an eye to wanting to keep the flavor of the town. They're looking at the architecture that we already have here and wanting to keep that flavor even in the new buildings. I've heard him talk about, we want it to at least look like it belongs here, not like we just dropped it in.
I do think he understands how vital that is.
Yeah.
Yes. And the other things that the town is doing to become business friendly, that it's not just the economic incentives in the town code, but we also have a revitalization revolving loan fund. So businesses that are in the district, the downtown district, can apply for $15,000 in a very low interest rate loan. It's a community run program, so you don't have to go to a bank and go through a million hoops. If you're a small business owner and you've gotten financial assistance before, it is a very big headache and it's very difficult. It is, it takes a long time, and this is a community run program. So a lot of it is a good faith kind of thing. We know several businesses downtown that have participated already, and several business owners that tout the program as being great for them, and allows people to make capital improvements to their buildings or buy equipment. And so that's another program. And that's been in existence, but we're sort of reviving it.
So where does that money come from?
When the revitalization grant came in from DHCD in 2012, I think.
What is DHCD?
The Department of Housing and Community Development.
Okay.
They set this up. This was a part of that grant program. And it's called a revolving loan program because there was money set aside from that was lended to businesses to create improvements, and those businesses pay back into the revolving loan fund.
Ah, so when that money is paid back, now somebody else can borrow it.
Exactly.
Okay.
And we have had several businesses pay it off and other businesses borrow it. And so that will just continue to keep going.
So this is money that could be used in perpetuity.
Yes.
And it grows, of course, because these businesses are paying interest. Maybe not a lot, but they are paying interest.
Yes, it's so, very right. small. Right.
And the fund is administered by who?
It is administered by the Northern Neck Planning District Commission. So they were our grant administrator for the revitalization fund through DHCD, and they also administer the revolving loan fund. And they are based in Warsaw.
Okay.
But the committee, it's a one-page application. It's very easy. If anybody needs the application, I can get it to them. And you just fill it out, and then the local committee meets about your needs and then approves, and then you find out.
So that's another sort of advantage to this. It's much more local. You're dealing with people who hopefully understand Colonial Beach and maybe your business a little bit better than maybe a giant bank conglomerate might.
And that's exactly the point. Because, well, one, small businesses are scared of banks. And two, banks are scared of small businesses. So we're trying to take that out of it. You're dealing with people that know you. They know you've been running your business. They know that you're going to be there and that you're invested in the town. But they want to see you grow, too, or they want to see you improve. And these are for capital improvements. So, like, if you want to remodel the outside of your building or even the inside or new signage or lighting or maybe you need a new giant piece of equipment for something. I don't know. Maybe your pizza oven broke. I don't know what it is. Then this can be used for that too. It can't be used to pay an employee because it's a one time. So, but it can be used for all capital assets.
For some reason, the movie It's a Wonderful Life is playing in my head right now because he ran
the
savings and loan.
Yeah. I feel like that's...
But it's a good analogy.
It is a good analogy. Yeah. Yeah.
And Colonial Beach kind of fits with the Bedford Falls small town kind of vibe, too.
It does. It does in many ways, actually. This revolving loan fund is not unique to Colonial Beach. So right. All communities that do the revitalization grant get a revolving loan fund established at their community. So I just want more people to know about it. Because I think not everybody knows that that is out there for financing things that you may need.
Well, and I think that's part of why I invited you here today was to get the word out about all these different programs that you guys are creating or helping administer, so that people and businesses and people who are interested in starting a business will understand that the town is interested in helping you and there are resources available if you just ask or if you just look.
Yeah, another one of those, like I said, there's a whole package of these things. Another one is that we have expanded the enterprise zone in town. Now that's a state-run program, but it used to just be barely in town, and now actually the county last year revised it, so now it extends all the way down Colonial Avenue as well. So Enterprise Zone is money back from the state that you can apply for if you do handicap improvements to your building to make it handicap accessible. If you have job growth, if you buy a derelict building and want to restore it, you can access credits for that as well.
Is a loan that they have to pay back.
It's a grant. It's a grant. Now you pay up front for whatever it is that you did, and then you apply for the grant and they give you the money back.
Wow. Well, give me money.
I know, right? So there's a CPA, a local CPA, Michael Lochner is his name, that has worked with local businesses here on that before, because you really need professional help in applying for that.
Okay. That's one of the more complicated
ones. It's one of the little more complicated ones, but if you're doing something that is a $100,000 project or more, it's worth it. So definitely for people that are thinking about really investing some money into something here in Colonial Beach, that's something they should be looking into.
How, if I'm a small business person and $100,000 is a lot of money to me, and I want to try and get this grant, but what you said was I have to spend the money first on the capital improvements, do it, and then get the grant, and hopefully they will pay me back. If I'm such a small business, am I taking out a loan from a bank and in the hopes that I'll be able to repay it when I get the grant, or how do most businesses do that? Do you know?
Sure. So that's a good segue into how we can assist you connect with SBA.
Okay.
So the Warsaw is our local regional office for the SBA, and the ladies there are amazing. They're fantastic.
Now, SBA, just to backtrack, is Small Business Association?
Yes.
Is that right?
Small Business Administration.
Administration.
Yes. And so they at Warsaw can help connect you to two different funding programs. One is the 504 loan, which is a way to buy a building and remodel it where you put 10% down.
Nice.
Yeah, it's unheard of, right? It's very hard for a commercial loan to be a 10% down. That most of the time they're 20% or higher. So that is one way to do it. The other is a 7A loan program through the SBA. And that is not as much for property purchase, but more for investment in equipment or things like that. So again, the ladies at the SBA in Warsaw can help anybody out with that, and I would just connect them straight with them. Joy Corpru is a contact down there, and they're wonderful. They also run small classes for small business owners on how to do QuickBooks or how to write a business plan or things like that too. And I recommend all the classes that they offer.
So I was going to ask you, you know, you're naming all these different things that people can do and incentives and things, but is the SBA sort of the place to start where a business owner or a potential person starting a business would go to them and say, this is what I want to do. Where can I go to get help? And they know about all these things and can help guide somebody through all of these different things? Or is there a one-stop, like, advisor, you know, somebody to guide you through this process? Because it sounds quite complicated.
It can be quite complicated. The first thing any person that wants to open a business up should do is write a business plan. That's the very first thing. And the SBA can help with that and has a lot of tools and resources online and in their office to help somebody do that. And that is important because you need to understand whether your business idea is economically viable in our community with our population base and our, you know, maybe seasonality or all those things, right? What kind of rent will you be able to afford off of what you're selling or purchasing or doing? And so writing a business plan is really the first step. And in that process, maybe getting connected with these programs. And so we are, Downtown Colonial Beach is working on a brochure right now that is supposed to highlight all of these programs. There's a couple I haven't even talked about yet. It's a lot. And so that hopefully somebody who wants to open a business up in Colonial Beach can come in Town Hall when they want to come get their business permit or license. And honestly, before you get your license for your business, you probably should be researching these things ahead of time and pick up that brochure and read through it, because that will be a good source of information for anybody. And we're revamping the website too, so that'll be probably about 6 months out, honestly, before the website is up with all the business information on it.
Which website is this?
The Town of Colonial Beach website.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is, let me remind myself here.
ColonialBeachBA.net.
So the SBA is a great place for people to start. And eventually when you get the town website sort of updated, it will be a good place for people to start and find out about, I guess, all of these programs that we're talking about.
Yes. And this brochure that Downtown Colonial Beach is doing should be available this fall, and we'll have printed copies and digital copies available on the website, but also in Town Hall. So my goal is that when somebody, especially new to Colonial Beach in business, comes into Town Hall, that they are greeted, welcomed, and then also given some informative information about kind of where to go and who to talk to. Because I think some people come to the Town Hall expecting that. Even though Town Hall is not a small business administration office, we still should be able to at least hand some information about these programs out. And the town does not administer all these programs. But if we can give out something for somebody to read through that contacts them and connects them with people that do administer these programs, that's a great place. That's another way to be business friendly.
So we've covered a lot of different programs, and I guess you've got more to talk about. I'm going to close us out for the moment, and we'll continue this discussion on our next Town Matters. Robin Schick, you've given us a lot to think about, and we'll continue this conversation next time. Thank you for coming.
Okay, great. Sounds good. I can't wait to explain the rest of our incentives and business-friendly initiatives.
The programming on 88.1 FM is made possible in part by WWER Watts members, who show their support of community radio by donating online at wwer.org/membership. If you like our programming, please consider contributing to wwer.org/membership.